Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets you to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drives as we talk both local and national sports. Today, we're going to put heavy emphasis on basketball. Yeah, we're going to wrap up the junior college season. Coach Vando and Coach Jones of the men's squad will join us. We'll get their final comments on the 2017-2018 season. And as far as college basketball goes, it's conference tournament time. Selection Sunday is right around the corner. The Pac-12 conference tournament will begin tomorrow. Tonight, BYU with an opportunity to punch its ticket to the NCAA tournament as they go toe-to-toe with Gonzaga at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. So we're going to talk a lot of college basketball on the show today as well. It's an exciting time for college hoops. It really is.
Really is. You got a lot of conference tournaments this week. A lot of teams that are on the bubble trying to play their way into the tournament. And you got those mid-majors looking at those automatic bids. So a lot this week. Busy, busy.
BYU's RPI is 67. If they don't win tonight, do they get in?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well. Yeah, I don't think they get in. Utah, they may be one of the first four out. And so the Utes are going to need a good showing in the Pac-12 tournament as well. So we're going to talk about that again and more. Plus, what conference should you be watching as far as the tournaments go? Look, I'm not a fan of the conference tournaments. I'm not. I think the outright winner of the conference should get the automatic bid, not the winner of the conference championship tournament. But I get it. It does add intrigue. It's a money deal. You know, someone like Gonzaga, they've clinched regardless. BYU wins tonight. There's two spots coming out of the WCC. And so a team like Utah, you better hope Gonzaga wins tonight, which I know the Ute fans would be rooting for Gonzaga to begin with, but it's games like this that matter moving forward. Every time a team on the outside looking in or a bubble team clinches a berth in the conference tournament, it affects Utah's ability to sneak in.
Yeah, you got a team like Cleveland State who's playing Wright State. Cleveland State is 12-22, so if they win tonight in that championship, there's a spot that goes away, so it's just... I don't like the conference tournament like you. I think they're just a waste, and it's a money grab.
It is a money grab. It is. And let's talk NFL here for just a moment. The New England Patriots made a move today. They have moved. They're going to move on from Alan Branch. They do not intend to pick up his $1 million option for the 2018 season. That move was expected. He did not play a single down in the home stretch of the Super Bowl. He's going to give the Patriots a savings of about $3 million all the way around for his total contract. But they will bring back Kenny Britt. They picked up his $150,000 option, which is kind of a no-brainer. By picking up that bonus, and again, an obvious move, they're going to get him on the cheap at $1.5 million or something like that next year. So it's a cheap contract for the Patriots. Kenny Britt's on his way back to New England. I like that. I think that's a great move.
Yeah, when he was the Rams, what, he had 62 catches for 1,000 yards when he was there. So with Danny Amendola being a free agent, you bring back Kenny Britt. You give him a full season with Tom Brady. So it's a nice little insurance policy in case Amendola leaves.
Yeah, Kenny Britt was fine in St. Louis in L.A., was not good in Cleveland last year, but then again, who was? So a couple of moves from the Patriots. Now, speaking of the Rams, they placed their non-exclusive franchise tag on LaMarcus Joyner, which means he's going to make about $11.2 million next season. The Rams, they still want to sign him to a long-term deal, but again, the non-exclusive tag, it's a little bit different. Now, any team can sign Joyner to an offer sheet, and if the Rams choose not to match that offer sheet, they will get two first-round picks from that team. So Joyner staying in L.A. at least for another year. But here's the big reaction to this. By the Rams tagging Joyner, they did not tag wide receiver Sammy Watkins, and now he is an unrestricted free agent next week. The Rams decided to go with Joyner over Watkins. I understand why. The franchise tag for Watkins would have been about $15 million a year. For Joyner, you're talking about a 27-year-old that is elite in his position. He's going to make 11. I think the Rams probably still bring back Sammy Watkins, but now he is an unrestricted free agent, and I would assume the market's going to be very, very good for him.
Yeah, a lot of teams need a wideout. Jacksonville is one of those teams. You know, maybe the Niners look at him, but yeah. The Rams need to bring back Watkins, and hopefully they can work something out, get him on a deal that's friendly with the Rams. So, but they need him back.
They do. I agree with you. They definitely do need him back. Let's take a look at the NBA schedule tonight, 5 o'clock. Philadelphia on the road taking on the Hornets. The Raptors will play host to the Atlanta Hawks. We get Miami at Washington, all of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock on TNT, Houston at OKC. The Mavericks will play host to the Nuggets at 6:30. Three games in the 8 o'clock hour tonight, New York at Portland, Brooklyn at Golden State. Nightcap of the doubleheader on TNT, it's New Orleans at the Clippers. Jazz get another win last night.
Jazz get another win, and Damian Lillard rips our hearts out.
Damian Lillard was amazing last night down the stretch in that Laker-Blazer contest. That guy knows how to play the game of basketball, I think. He's pretty good. Yeah, he's not too shabby. Hey, we've got a break for just a moment. We're going to give you a rundown on the local sports front. Again, Coach Jones and Coach Vando with the USU Eastern men's basketball team will join us. Plus, we're going to talk NCAA hoops. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
If you are not signed up to receive Sutherland's emails, visit our website today at Sutherlands.com. You'll never miss a monthly free item again. Plus, get our ads, preferred customer deals, and money-saving coupons throughout the year, delivered right to your inbox. Don't forget that we offer order online and pick up in store. Choose your date and time to pick up your order, then simply wait for our email to let you know your order is ready. Sutherland's, helping you build it better since 1917.
There's a mystery afoot, the mystery of missing tax deductions. H&R Block Tax Pros with IBM Watson are the best private eyes around. Come in today or make an appointment at hrblock.com. Maximum refund guaranteed.
Experts train Watson to consume large volumes of data. Performance improves over time. If you find an H&R Block error on your return, entitles you to a larger refund, we'll refund your fee for that return and file an amended return at no extra charge. See hrblock.com/guarantees for details.
Stop into your local H&R Block tax office at 33 East Main Street in Price. Make an appointment today by calling 637-4110. H&R Block. Never settle for less.
I thought my bad roof could make it through one more winter. That was until last night when the ceiling in the living room fell down. I'm just thankful no one was hurt. I also noticed that the two bedroom ceilings have water stains too. Now what am I going to do?
This could be you if you let your roof go just one more winter. Call Jeff at Construction Assistance. Jeff is a local contractor with years of experience in roof replacement. Put Jeff to work replacing your roof today before your ceiling falls in. Call today, 650-6841. And remember, Jeff is okay.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And today, the Emory Sporting and Carbondino baseball teams will open up the 2018 season as both participate in non-league action. Emory will begin what's going to be a very busy week on the road against the Gunnison Bulldogs under first-year manager Rob Smith. The Spartans will look to expand off of the success they had last year in the state tournament with a great group of seniors. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Smith, and he talked about the makeup of this year's team.
Our shortstop and pitcher, Easton Gordon, he's returning from last year. He did win a state championship as a freshman as well, and so kind of banking on them. Dakota Alton, Colton Wilson, and Jared Snow. So my three seniors are my big, and then we got Tyson Stilson, Cade Brazier. A lot of the same basketball players that helped out the basketball team this year, my athletes, again, for baseball.
Following today's contest against Gunnison, the baseball team will travel on the road to Mesquite, Nevada on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now outside of Emory, the Carbondino baseball team will participate in home action as they welcome in Springville at USU Eastern's field beginning at 3 p.m. The Dinos are in a similar situation as Emory, looking to build off of last year's success. Also yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by manager Jeff Cincinnatus, and he talked about the makeup of this year's team.
We do have 10 seniors and 11 juniors. 20 kids at the varsity JV level is going to be a good bunch, and I know the majority of those kids, I think at least 12 of those kids will see time on the mound for us, so that's a positive thing. You know, come game times and what we're doing, I think it's going to work out just fine.
Like Emory, it'll be a very busy week for the Carbon baseball squad. Following today's home contest, they'll travel on the road as they go to the Pizza Hut Classic, which will begin on Friday. Carbon's schedule will be extremely heavy. They'll take on Dixie and Payson Friday before taking on Judge Memorial on Saturday and then playing another opponent that is to be determined at a later date. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on both baseball programs in the coming days. Now, softball will also jumpstart the season today as Carbon and Emory will share the field. This will take place at Emory High School beginning at 3 p.m. Following today's contest against Emory, Carbon will travel on the road to St. George, where they will play in three games in as many days beginning on Thursday. The Emory softball team will continue play later on in the week as they travel to Spanish Fork. It'll be a doubleheader on Thursday before taking on Gunnison this Friday. We move over to basketball, and today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with Coach Vando and Coach Ray Jones of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Their season came to a close on Friday. Today, we'll recap the entire 2017-2018 campaign, in which USU Eastern actually finished third overall in the Scenic West Athletic Conference. Again, that'll be today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, beginning at 4 p.m. And we end by moving over to the national sports scene. And last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Utah Jazz defeated the Orlando Magic 94-80 to improve to 34-30 on the season. The Jazz have a heavy schedule the remainder of the week. Tomorrow, they'll travel on the road to meet the Indiana Pacers at 5 p.m. And then on Friday, the Jazz are back in action against the Memphis Grizzlies at 6. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Did you know that USU Eastern offers 8 bachelor's degrees at our local campus? That's right. You can live right here in Castle Country and obtain a bachelor's degree in general studies, business, education and human services, English, history, mathematics and statistics, social work, or wildlife. With the lowest tuitions in the state, this is a great opportunity for both traditional and non-traditional students. To learn more, visit usueastern.edu or call 613-5000. USU Eastern, transforming lives for good.
One question that comes up regularly in Carbon and Emory County.
Where are we going to eat tonight?
For a unique dining experience, the Carbon Country Club for dinner is an easy choice. Set above the beautiful 18-hole golf course with an amazing view, the Carbon Country Club is a public fine dining restaurant with a full bar and lounge. The Carbon Country Club is open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9. Call 637-2311 to make a reservation and visit them on the web at carboncountryclub.com to view their dinner menu.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
A lot of emphasis on basketball here on the show today. Bouncing back and forth between JUCO and the NCAA. Junior college basketball season came to a close Friday as the USU Eastern men and women both suffered losses in the semifinals. The men's basketball team falling to CSI by 6, and joining us to talk about the season-ending defeat and the season in general, we have Coach Vando and Coach Ray Jones Jr. right now in the studio. Coach Vando, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jordan.
It's definitely my pleasure. I can't believe that the season's over. Seems like it was just yesterday you and I were actually talking about introducing Coach Jones. Now we're wrapping up the season. Yeah. It went by in a hurry.
Wow, yeah. This year was fast. But I think, you know, like we got ended, you know, in a good season. I think, you know, we improved a lot if you compare first semester with second semester. For sure, we played, you know, our best basketball, you know, towards the end, and all the kids they played real hard, but unfortunately, we fell short, you know, we played really, you know, 38 minutes of, you know, high-level basketball. We compete against CSI. We put them behind, but the last 2 minutes, two turnover, you know, just kill us. And, you know, when you play against, you know, a high-level caliber team, you know, when you make a turnover, they don't have a mercy on you. They come in and stab you and try to finish you. And then, you know, that happened. But I'm very happy, you know, we proved that we can compete. We finished this year on the third in our conference. We give CSI a real hard game, you know. And the kids play real hard, you know. That's I'm very happy.
Going back and looking at this game, 6-point lead with 5 minutes to play, I believe, and things seemed to be going right. Montero was just brilliant in this game. I think he shot 10 of 15 in this contest, very efficient offensively. It just seemed like things were going right, Coach. When did things change? What was it that shifted the momentum in this game?
I think, you know, like by, you know, toward, at the end of the game, you know, when I saw stats, we had two guys that play, you know, had a horrible night. We had Landon with 1 and 10 from the field, and Milan, it's 1 from 8. Mm-hmm. So if I think these two guys played their average, we could have beat them by maybe 8, 10 points. So Milan is our point guard, you know, starting point guard, and every shot that he took during the game was a nice shot, was a good shot, you know, and I talked to him, and he felt good. I said, Coach, you know, I felt really, when the ball leaving my hand, I said, yeah, that was a good shot. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't make the basket. And Landon's the same thing. He attacked the basket. He did, you know, the things that he's supposed to do, but, you know, like, unfortunately, he was 1 for 10.
Yeah.
So combined, we had 2 for 18. So it was horrible. I think, like, you know, started, you know, like this. If these guys could have played, you know, their average, you know, I have no doubt that we could have beat, you know, them. But I think we play really good defense, you know, like a zone defense, man defense. We could have, you know, changed during the game. They had some trouble attacking us, you know, when we changed, you know, our defense. We changed the pace of the game. We made them play in our pace. So that never happened when we play against them. But like I said, the last 3 minutes, I think we got tired. We got real tired, and like I said, you know, like it was like a free throw game, and we had to foul them, and they never, you know, miss a free throw, and at the other end we miss some easy basket, and when they foul us, we ended up missing, you know, go to the line for 1-on-1, and we were 50%, you know, that time. That I think that was, you know, like a real crucial for us. And unfortunately, you know, we end the lose by 6.
Yeah, you know, there's one instance, and definitely not an indictment, I know, on Landon, but we were down 4. Landon had a 1-on-1. No time was going to run off the clock. There was 50 seconds to go in the game. Missed the front end of the 1-on-1. CSI makes you pay when that kind of stuff happens.
Like I said, you know, they have quality, you know, caliber players right there. You know, like any mistakes that we had over here, you know, they you know, attacked us, and they were, you know, they were, you know, how can I put this? They finalized us. You know, they in the crucial moment they didn't miss.
Yeah,
you know, and I can, you know, take my hat off, and especially Charles Jones, you know, he by himself took the game, you know, in the last 2 minutes, with you know, like he didn't miss. He took, you know, CSI on his back, and he won the game.
Coach, what was the message to the team once the season was over? You were in the locker room with them in Ephraim. What was the message to the team for the final time that you have them all together?
Oh, man, it was, you know, it was sad. You know, like everybody was down. And to be honest with you, you know, we had a great year. Not because, you know, the results, you know, the group of the kids that we put together, you know, high character kids, hard workers, very good students. So that's the dream team that, you know, you wish you could have, you know, every single year. So kids who come in over here and play hard for you and work hard for you and bring every day in practice. You don't have to check, you know, if they're in class or not. They have good GPAs, no trouble on and off the court. I just told them that I was very proud and I was very pleased to coach them, and I wish I could have this team for one more year, because, you know, like I said, they deserve all the best, and they deserve, you know, to have success, you know, in their lives, because, like I said, they're good characters, good kids. Wherever they go, you know, the coaches, we're gonna be real happy with them. They're gonna have, you know, a bright young man's and willing to represent your institution like they did with USU Eastern. And not just, you know, in basketball, you know, on the community, on and off the court, and in the class. Like I said, you know, I was kind of, like I said, you know, like a see these kids leave and not, you know, have an opportunity to have them for one more year.
Now, Coach, you also brought along Coach Jones, who's joined us throughout the year as well. So let's bring Coach Jones in. I want to get his perspective on the way things kind of progressed for this team. Coach Vando just mentioned it. You guys were playing very good basketball at the end of the season, first semester compared to the second semester. It was completely different. Obviously, if you could bottle up that progression and stick it on the shelf and save it for future seasons, I mean, you would. What was the key to this team evolving between the two semesters?
I think just staying the course. I think, you know, we had to believe in what we were doing. You know, we set out with a game plan. I think it's just trusting the process was probably the biggest thing. I mean, when you have a lot of foreigners and, you know, you got guys that haven't played with each other, you got a whole lot of different cultures, you have a whole lot of different backgrounds, a whole lot of different family situations, you have a whole lot of playing styles. All these things are so different. You have to just continue to stay the course until these things begin to mesh, you know, and then this guy knows where he likes the ball and this guy's temperament is this. So you got to know how to talk to him, and, you know, and all those things just take time. And I think that was the biggest thing for us, was just staying the course and not giving up on the plan.
That term, trust the process, is really, it resonates, I think, through basketball specifically right now. It's tough to do, though.
It's very tough to do. I mean, and people in general, you know, we have a we want it right now type of mentality. And I think that's been that way since the beginning of time, since Cain and Abel. You know, I think we want instant praise. We want instant admiration. We want instant results. And that's not the life we live in, you know, and good things take time. I think that's true even to today, and we'll be, you know, moving on. You know, Duke doesn't play the way that they play at the end of the season that they do in the beginning of the season. You want to peak at the right time. And that's what I kept telling the guys. Now is the time to play our best basketball. You know, now is when we peak. You know, a lot of stuff, we're battle-tested. You take those, you learn from them, and then you use them when you get to the actual battle.
I have to say goodbye to some sophomores. Some of these guys played really, really big. I mean, Nima Namdar was so much fun to watch. From a broadcast perspective, Nima's exciting because he can come down and launch from 30 at any given time, and he has the ability to hit, and that's just excitement. You look at Montero. You know, Rafael was so good in that game against CSI. And Milan, who's just the ultimate quarterback. I mean, you can go through and talk about every sophomore on this team. There's a lot of guys that are going to be difficult to replace.
Yeah. I mean, difficult to replace on the basketball court and just off the court, too. I mean, we have so many cool personalities on this team. I mean, I love the way that they competed on the court. I mean, you would think our team was half crazy at points at practice. And then, you know, you step off the court and, I mean, guys are joking about Fortnite and talking about Jordans and, you know, who's better, Kobe or LeBron, you know, I mean, just so many cool personalities, and they're all from different places, but when they get together, you know, it's going to be tough to replace that type of character, but I think we'll be fine in that aspect.
From your perspective, this is kind of like your first full off season having the position that you're in, which means there's probably a little bit more amplified pressure. Is pressure the right word? I mean, you're out there on the recruiting trail now. I mean, this is your role.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, this is the first time I've actually been in this capacity to try to bring guys in. But Vando brings in a lot of good guys. So, I mean, he takes a lot of the pressure off of me. And, you know, we kind of just correspond in that aspect. I know a lot of people, you know, in the Utah realm and in the South, and he's got a lot of foreign connections. And so it's no more pressure on either one of us to bring in that guy. You know, I run my guys by him. He runs his guys by me. And we come to a conclusion. We're just like, hey, I like him. Like, let's try to get him. You know, and if we don't get him, there's 10 other point guards in that same area, you know, and we try to get them, you know. So I wouldn't say it's pressure. I think it's fun, and it's, you know, I think it's a healthy work relationship, and I think me and Vandal will be fine in that regard.
If you had to describe the recruiting process in just a couple of words for someone who, you know, we talk about the recruiting process all the time. National Signing Day is huge here on the show, especially with us being a Utah Ute affiliate. So we talk a lot about the recruiting process. For someone who's in the trenches, how do you describe it? What's it like?
Man, it's competitive. It's friendly, healthy competitiveness between different universities and different schools. I think that's the best way that I can describe it. I mean, you know that different teams want this one player. What are we going to be able to offer them that no other team can? And sometimes that's just us being us. You know, that's just a genuine, you know, family-oriented feel. We can't promise you money. We can't promise you, you know, the lights. We can't promise you the lifestyle. But what we can give you is two guys who you can trust, who will not change from day one to day 365. We're going to be us. And that's kind of what it is. It's healthy competition. We know we can't offer some things CSI or Slick can't, but we feel that we're very secure in what we bring. And so that I think that's the fun part of the competition is that you can offer that and you see who bites, you know. And,
yeah.
And I think we'll get some guys in here who want that, and that's who we'll play with.
Well, Coach, I know we'll have plenty to talk about in the coming months. Even though the basketball season's done, hopefully we'll get you back in here. We'll talk a little bit about the recruiting. I know you and I we're going to get Mando in here as well. We're going to start talking some Casual Fridays here on Drive Time Sports. Right?
Hey, Casual Fridays coming soon. I think everyone needs to tune into that. That is going to be fun. It's going to be boxing, basketball. Kobe Bryant's never going to be as good as Jordan. That'll be a big part of the conversation. Me and Mando will be wearing Jordans. If Jordan wears his walking space boot shoes, he will be escorted out. So be looking for that.
I will wear them. We may have to Facebook Live that edition of the show.
It'll be a short video, let me tell you.
Coach, I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you for stopping by.
Hey, man. Thank you, Jordan. You're the man.
And before we end, I want to bring Coach Vando in one last time. Coach, I got to thank you as well, always making up the time to come in during the season. I know it's busy, but you always make time for us, so thank you.
Man, Jordan, thank you so much. You know, it was my pleasure, you know. You know, within Ray, you, and it's always like fun, and we enjoy in our conversations, you know, off the, you know, microphones, you know, that's great. I'm looking forward for that, you know. Casual Friday is going to be nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We even got a name for it already. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you guys who are listening to us. You know, you're the reason that we are here. Like, and, you know, we try to, you know, play hard and entertain you. And I'm looking forward to have you guys, you know, next year to in our gym. And so far, thank you so much for all year long. And thank you for your all, you know, your support.
Again, that's Coach Vando and Coach Jones of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to talk NCAA basketball conference tournament time. Tomorrow, the Pac-12 is going to get off and rolling. We had some ACC games go down earlier today. Greg Peterson of the Madness to March. Greg Peterson, who's a great friend of mine and on Sirius XM Radio, the Madness to March co-host. He's going to join us when we return.
At KFC, we make chicken the hard way. Hand-breaded, freshly prepared, and finger-licking good. Our chicken isn't made the fast way or the easy way. Each fresh batch of the world's best chicken starts with our cooks inspecting each individual piece. Then, our fresh chicken is carefully rolled 7 times in our secret blend of 11 herbs and spices before being rocked 7 times, and then pressure-cooked at a low temperature to preserve all the great taste we're known for around the world. We could find an easier way to make chicken, but then we couldn't put our name on it.
With all of the electronic devices running nonstop in your house, chances are you regularly go over your data limit. Did you know there is really no need to keep paying those overage fees? For existing Emory Telecom customers, just $10 more per month gives you an unlimited data package. No more overages, no more worry. Just fast and dependable internet that you've come to expect from Emory Telecom. To upgrade your internet service, give them a call today at 613-9605. Ask about how you can save even more on your monthly bill. Emory Telecom, keeping you connected.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With e-fiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom, 613-9605.
Do you find your husband is stressed out about retirement? Retirement. That one word means something different to everyone. No matter what your vision of retirement is, it will take some careful and consistent planning to get you there. This is Gary Meeks with Meeks Financial. Give me a call today and we will set up a free consultation to help get your retirement plan moving in the right direction. Give me a call at 637-8160.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to stick with the college basketball talk, but we're going to move away from JUCO and talk NCAA. Now, this is the time of the year. I mean, conference tournament's off and rolling. Selection Sunday's not that far off, and we've begun the March to Madness. That's the perfect segue to bring in our next guest, Greg Peterson. He's kind enough to join us every March. He joins us during the college basketball season as well from time to time. Greg is the co-host of the March to Madness on SiriusXM Radio Channel 204, and he's joining us right now over the phone. Greg, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Happy to be on with you, Jordan. Thank you.
Yeah, always look forward to the conversations. And as far as March Madness goes, I mean, boom, we're here. There's no more of the, I don't want to call it the charade, but at the same time, there's a lot of meaningless basketball throughout the season. That's not the case anymore. Every single possession counts now when you get down to it in March Madness.
Oh, exactly. You've got so many teams fighting for a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, so many teams on the bubble, and then you've got the smaller schools playing in these one-bid leagues that are just fighting for that chance to get that 15 or 16 seed. You've got to love what you see.
Let me be honest with you. One of my problems that I've always had in college basketball is the conference tournaments. I'm not a big conference tournament guy. I wish they would award the automatic bid to the conference outright winner. I think it would give us a bigger gauge of the 68 best teams in the conference or in the NCAA tournament. But let's be real. That diminishes some of the drama that we get in March if the conference tournaments didn't pack that heavy punch. With that being said, right now in the state of Utah, we can start by talking about the BYU Cougars going toe-to-toe with Gonzaga for the WCC title. BYU is one of those squads that is a potential bid stealer in tonight's game.
They certainly are. RPI is 67. They lost a couple games in conference to the likes of Pacific and Loyola Marymount that they should not have. So this is going to be a very big game for the Cougars. And you take a look at it, they were just absolutely rolling against St. Mary's. St. Mary's allowed a season-high point total with 85 yesterday. And you could just see from the outstretch, BYU was just locked in, ready to go. Got Jock Landale to foul three times in the first half, which is what really pushed them over the top of this one after a less-than-stellar performance in their first game of the WCC tournament against San Diego.
You talk about finding your groove at the right time. That spells BYU, Greg.
Oh, exactly. I mean, this is a BYU team that, I mean, Jock Landale was eating them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner before. He was averaging like 31.5 points and 12.5 rebounds per game against them. And then, lo and behold, BYU shows up last night. They're hitting their threes. They just came out. They punched St. Mary's in the mouth, and the Gaels had no response.
Now, looking ahead in this contest for BYU going toe-to-toe with Gonzaga, I mean, all in all, this is Gonzaga's game to lose. I think everybody views it that way. Do you view BYU as a legitimate threat to win this conference championship tonight?
I mean, you have to take them very seriously because you take a look at some of the players that BYU has. I mean, Childs was just absolutely insane yesterday, scoring 33 points. I will say Gonzaga's front court is a little bit deeper than St. Mary's because St. Mary's, you got Jock Landale, and then you have a whole lot of nothing. With Gonzaga, you've got the likes of Killian Tilly. You've got Jonathan Williams down low. So you've got some guys that you can work with, and they're also very versatile. Jock Landale, more of a back-to-the-basket guy. Killian Tilly, in the WCC tournament, is 10 for 10 from three, and over his last five games has hit 19 of 22 from distance. Those are video game numbers right there. So, I mean, BYU is going to have its hands full with just the versatility of Gonzaga, but at the same time, this team does have experience. These are a bunch of older guys that are going out there. I think that they've got a good chance of, at the very least, hanging in there with the Zags.
Yeah, I agree with you. And a lot of that just has to go off of straight momentum. I mean, you go back to the game against St. Mary's. BYU shot something like 61%, 62% in the first half of that contest. I don't care who you're going up against. It does not matter. If you shoot upwards of 60% and a half, Greg, you are going to hang with whoever you're playing. I don't care who it is.
Very true. And you take a look at BYU as well. They're good at not turning the ball over. That's a huge thing when you're going up against a better opponent. If you don't turn the ball over, you don't give away those free opportunities in transition, you're going to be able to set up your defense, and you're going to be able to just allow yourself to not get blown out of the game, more or less.
Again, we're being joined right now by Greg Peterson. Again, he's the co-host of the March to Madness on Sirius XM Radio Channel 204. One conference that we obviously pay close attention to here on KOAL, the Pac-12. Have Stanford in there. I think Stanford's a team that really could make a big run of the Pac-12 tournament. You want to talk about a team that's had problems throughout the year with injuries? Boom, that's Stanford. I also think this team has all kinds of potential, and that's the squad that I'm watching in the Pac-12 tournament. I think that they could potentially give out the most heartache here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, very true. You take a look at the Stanford team. They were banged up in the early part of the year. That's why they lost to Portland State in the PK-80 on a neutral court. That obviously did not help them. They were blown out by North Carolina at the beginning of the year. But this team really rounded into form, and what I can tell from Stanford is this is a second-half team right here. Now, they didn't show that against Arizona State a couple days ago, but they were able to hold on for that win. But I just still remember when they went up against USC and UCLA in that early stretch of the Pac-12 season, they were down in those games by double digits. They managed to fight back. They obviously got a little bit of luck with that 50-footer that I think Dejon Davis hit against USC. But at the same time, this is a Stanford team that will not stop battling and have a bona fide star in Reed Travis.
I agree 100%. And in fact, if we take a look at the Pac-12 slate tomorrow, we get Colorado, Arizona State, Stanford, Cal, Washington, Oregon State, Oregon going up against Washington State. Out of those four games that we'll get tomorrow, Greg, which one do you like the best?
I like the Arizona State versus Colorado game. You may recall that the Buffaloes were able to take down Arizona State in Boulder the first time these two teams met. And contrary to popular belief, Arizona State is not a lock for the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. This is a team with an RPI of 58, three quadrant one wins, and went 8-10 in the Pac-12. That just is not going to get the job done if they lose to Colorado. Because if they lose to Colorado, their RPI is probably going to jump into the mid to late 60s. They're still going to have those three quadrant one wins. It's going to be another less than stellar loss on their resume. So I think that there's a lot of intrigue here with the Sun Devils.
Okay, let me talk about the Utah Utes here. How close are they to getting into the NCAA tournament? What do they got to do over the course of the Pac-12 tournament to at least get the selection committee to consider them as one of the first four or the final four in?
Right now I've got Utah somewhere in the neighborhood of my fourth or fifth team out, depending on when you look. But Utah really needs to get a couple wins. I mean, the fact that we're talking about the number three team in the Pac-12 being among my first four out is a little bit weird, because we remember last year just how good the top four teams in the Pac-12 were. And everyone likes to sell the narrative that, oh, Nebraska's the fourth best team in the Big Ten. They should be in the NCAA tournament. How about the third best team in the Pac-12? I mean, Utah's played some good basketball. They obviously had a little bit of a letdown when they played against USC at home a couple weeks ago. But at the same time, Utah has actually scheduled pretty well out of conference. They had some mixed results. Obviously, the loss to Butler is right now nipping them in the butt. But I mean, Utah is a team that I certainly think is a game opponent, and if they're able to make the Pac-12 final, I think that it's hard to leave them out.
I agree with you. When you look at what Utah has been able to accomplish throughout the year, I mean, Justin Bibbins, David Collette, Cedric Berfield, Tyler Rawson. Look, there's four kids that have the ability to go off at any given time. Typically, in a one-and-done type scenario, you don't want to play against a team that has five guys that average double figures, and Utah floats around that water. I mean, this is a dangerous team.
This is a very dangerous team. I do agree with you. I mean, Justin Bibbins has been such a nice player, graduate transfer from Long Beach State. He's really given this team a nice spark. You've got David Collette as well, one of the better four-post players in the Pac-12. Utah does have a little bit of a rebounding issue, but this team is one of the teams that shoots a lot of threes. I mean, it's hard to believe Utah being one of those teams that a lot of its shots do come from distance, but when they're hitting those shots, it's really hard to knock off the U.
You mentioned the next four out, first four out. Okay, you have Utah on that list right now. ESPN.com is saying Mississippi State, Marquette, Notre Dame. Hard to argue those four, isn't it?
Very hard. I have all those teams currently among my first 16 out myself. I think I might have Mississippi State at number seven, but I have them all right in that vicinity.
Okay, let's talk about who's on the bubble that you have as far as your last four in right now. And again, speaking of the Pac-12, and you're mentioning the fact that the number three seed in the Pac-12 right now would not be in. Obviously, USC is floating on the bubble, even though they're the number two seed in the Pac-12, right? I mean, it's not a for sure thing for USC, is it?
For me, USC is in stone cold lead pipe lock. Other
okay.
people see it the other way. I mean, I thought that when USC knocked off Utah, they cemented their place into the field of 68. This is a USC team that challenged itself out of conference. They got the tournament winner in Hawaii in the Diamond Head Classic, knocking off New Mexico State in the process. I mean, obviously, the win against Akron is nothing to write home about, but that win against Middle Tennessee keeps looking better and better. Middle Tennessee, one of the better mid-majors in the country. So I think that USC has done enough to get itself into the field of 68, even though many may disagree with me.
Again, Greg Peterson joining us right now as we talk NCAA conference tournament action ahead of Selection Sunday. Greg, give me the most intriguing conference from here on out that you must watch over the course of the next 3 to 4 days.
I would say it's the ACC because you've got so many big, heavy matchups going on that it's not even funny. You've got teams jockeying for a position on the bubble. Will Syracuse be able to get in? Will Louisville be able to get in? What is the likelihood that Duke gets a one seed if they win the ACC tournament? Where will North Carolina be seeded? There's just so much there with the ACC and so many good teams. And meanwhile, you've got a good mix of bubble teams in there as well.
Who's the most interesting player heading into the NCAA tournament? The guy that is going to help his draft stock the most here over the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks?
That is a good question. You take a look at some of these guys. I mean, one guy that really jumped off the page for me is Jalen Brunson. I mean, this is a guy that should be considered for player of the year. 19 points, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 rebounds, 5 assists per game. He shoots at nearly 50% from 3. And let's be clear here. He is the heart and soul of Villanova. The guy plays so hard. I mean, Villanova is not the deepest team to start with. They were dealing with an injury to Phil Booth, one of their starting guards, and he just picked up the slack for them. So I take a look at Jalen Brunson having a huge mark and just everyone being enamored by him.
I like that you bring up Brunson because, look, I think this kid is fantastic. I really do. But every single time I have a conversation with someone that follows the NBA, they have him on the outside of their top 20 in the NBA draft, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly. And maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is a junior, and I know that age, there's so much emphasis placed on age in this day and age as far as the NBA draft goes. He's the smartest player in college basketball.
I completely agree with you. I think that age has just been so overblown in college basketball or at the NBA because it's like, if a guy is below the age of 20, he's anxious. He has no upside or anything like that. Meanwhile, you take a look at a lot of these guys that do come out as juniors or seniors. Typically, they may not boom and become the next Steph Curry because he was just a once-in-a-lifetime guy. But at the same time, a lot of these guys are often very solid, and I feel like the bust rate with them is much lower.
Greg, last question before I let you go. You mentioned the conference to watch. We talked a little bit about the Pac-12. Let's end with this. Who wins the Pac-12 tournament?
The Pac-12 tournament, you have to go with Arizona. I know that they're playing such bad defense. But at the same time, I just don't see a team like a UCLA, like a Stanford, just having enough in the arsenal to knock off this Wildcat squad. DeAndre Ayton is just playing out of his mind. I mean, that game against Oregon was so special. I mean, the Ducks might be a little bit of a sleeper, but at the same time, I just still go with Arizona. And when Raleigh Olkins is healthy, this Arizona team is completely different. He appears to be healthy. I think Arizona takes a whole shebang.
Last question about the Pac-12. As far as UCLA goes, and looking at where this team is at, look, they've had several disappointing performances so far this season. Several times I've tuned in to watch UCLA, Greg, and I've been highly, highly disappointed. Steve Alford, does he save his job with the recruiting class that he has coming in next season?
I think he should. I mean, especially the fact that he has now washed his hands clean of the Ball brothers. I think that's actually a little bit of an advantage for him. So I think that Steve Alford gets at least another year. And what so many people forget about UCLA is since Steve Alford has been there, this is now year number four, they made the Sweet 16 in two out of those 3 years. Now, granted, they got lucky when they got matched up with SMU a couple years ago and got into the tournament just seemingly by the will of the committee. But at the same time, a Sweet 16 appearance is a Sweet 16 appearance.
Is that still one of the most high-profile jobs in the country?
I believe so, without a doubt.
Again, Greg Peterson taking out the time to join us. Greg, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Certainly. You can find me on Twitter at @JUnit_81, and you can follow the Vegas Asset Information Network at VSIN Live. I've been doing a little bit of everything for them, some write-ups. I'm on the March of Madness, which airs every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Mountain Time, so be sure to catch me there.
Hey, Greg, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Hopefully we can do it after Selection Sunday.
Yes, sir. We'd love nothing more.
He's the man, Greg Peterson, one of the best college basketball minds you will find. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.
With the opening of the new Urgent Care Center, there are now more healthcare options to choose from than ever before here in our area. Having choices is a plus, but it can also be confusing when selecting the right option at the right time. It's important to remember to use the emergency room for severe or painful conditions that, if not treated immediately, can result in loss of life or limb. For minor illnesses or injuries that require advanced care, or at times when regular primary care physicians are not available, the Urgent Care Center can offer relief. Castleview Hospital, making communities healthier.
Hey, honey, did you see that it's Ford and Ram Truck Month?
Great. Let's head up north and buy a new truck.
Up north? Let's go to Auto Farm here in Price. They have two stores to help us find the truck that's perfect for us.
But I can get a better price up north.
That's not true. They search the web to make sure they have the best price anywhere. Plus, when we need it serviced, Auto Farm is here to take care of us.
Best price and they'll take care of us? Honey, I don't know why you want to go up north to buy a truck. Let's go to Auto Farm.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, the Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag about an amazing student we have representing USU Eastern. Chandler Vincent is a welding student here at USU Eastern. He recently flew to Huntsville, Alabama to compete in the U.S. Open Welding Trials. After 4 days of nonstop welding, Chandler was named the USA World Skills Welding Champion. With this title, Chandler won $40,000 in tools and scholarships from the American Welding Society. Congratulations, Chandler. For more stories about the incredible students that we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmick.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Zero name, no gimmick.
We're back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. We've talked a lot of college basketball. Let's end with college basketball. Steve Kerr made some comments about how the NBA and how the NCAA could help the problem of, I guess, paying student-athletes, the problem with the one-and-done in NCAA basketball. I say it's simple. Get rid of the one-and-done. Let kids come out of high school if they would like. I know there's a whole thing that the NBA is trying to figure out right now with academies and a bunch of other different stuff. Steve Kerr said he has a pretty simple solution. Here's the quote. One of the things the NCAA needs to look at is, if a kid signs with an agent and doesn't get drafted, welcome him back. Why not? What's the harm? We talk about amateurism and all this stuff, but if you're truly trying to do what's right for the kid, and the kid declares for the draft and does not get drafted, you know what? Welcome him back. Do something good for the kids. Your thoughts.
I don't have a problem with it, but we need to figure out something, because once these kids declare and they don't get drafted, they have no future. They have nowhere else to go. So we need to implement some sort of either make this 3 years you have to go to college and then you can declare, or implement the MLB-style draft, something. I don't have a problem with them going back. I don't.
You can't sign with an agent and still be looked at as an amateur.
No.
Sorry, you can't.
No.
Once you sign with an agent, I think you're done. Now, you know, maybe there's a thin line here. Maybe you can consult with an agent. Maybe the NBA draft is done. I don't know. I'm fine with the kid being able to go back to school. But once you sign with an agent, boy, it makes it very difficult because even if you go back to school, you've signed with an agent. Is that contract?
So do we have to drop signing with the agent? If you go back, you have to...
Here's the thing. You sign with an agent,
yeah, so,
and you don't get drafted as a freshman, and you go back to school. Well, guess what? That agent still has the possibility of working out benefits for you outside of the game of basketball. Like, I don't think that works. I do, however, agree with Steve Kerr. There has to be some form. You've mentioned the baseball draft, how baseball does it.
Yes.
Are agents the problem in basketball? Is it really that simple?
I think agents play a big part in basketball, yes.
I'm starting to think that that is, yeah, I'm starting to think that that is the issue.
I mean, if we implement the MLB style draft, I think it will take a lot of this stuff away. And if it doesn't, you don't want to go that route, then make these kids go 3 years. Because two is not, I don't think two will work, but I think three is fine.
Yeah.
But we have to figure out something because it's not working right now.
It's not working right now, it's not. Steve Kerr makes a great point. Yeah, let him go back if you want to do something right for the kids. You know... Like I said, signing with an agent, that's it. I mean, that's the end all be all. You got to figure out a way to where these kids can have some sort of representation, but at the same time, not fully sign with an agent because that's what the problem is. You have these agents and you have these shoe companies and you have people with their hands out at these AAU tournaments. That's where the problem is. Maybe that's it. Maybe agents are the big problem. I don't know.
Yeah, I think agents are maybe 50% to 60% of the problem with this.
Fun topic. Steve Kerr gives his thoughts. Go ahead and let him go back to school. Okay.
Yeah. It has to be better than what we have because right now it's...
Get rid of the one and done.
The one and done is dumb.
Get rid of it.
It's stupid.
If a kid wants to go to school, does not want to go to school, he wants to go right to the NBA, he wants to forfeit his amateur. Look, if a kid is forfeiting his amateur status by going directly to the NBA, he has no care to go to college to begin with, and he's only using college to get to the NBA, right? So
yeah.
You still have the option to go play overseas. I'm okay with it. Get rid of the one-and-done rule. I think that solves a lot of our issues. There's going to be some major reform here relatively soon. Not sure what it is, but that's Steve Kerr's take. Let him go back in if they don't get drafted. Hey, we are out of time on this edition of the show. We've got to thank Greg Peterson, Coach Vando, and, of course, Coach Jones. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. We're out.
What steps have you made to follow through with your New Year's resolution to stay healthy this year? Well, your first step should be getting your annual pass to the Jeff Manley Wellness Center. In January, an annual pass is just $130. That is less than $11 per month, a very small price to pay for access to a full-fledged gym that includes free weights, machines, cardio equipment, and a rehab-sized pool. Meet your fitness goals this year by getting your annual pass today. For more information, call 636-4841.
Hi, this is Joe from AJ's. Aluminum is different than other truck bodies, and how we repair them is different too. It is important to get your aluminum truck body repaired at a shop equipped to get it done right. Shops that are not qualified to make aluminum repairs can cause serious harm to the safety and value of your vehicle. Here at AJ's Body and Paint, not only do we have the correct tools and welders needed to fix your aluminum vehicle, our staff has the training and certifications to work with it as well. Trust us here at AJ's to repair your vehicle the right way. Find us on Highway 55, just south of the Sutherland's entrance.
We are back from commercial break, and it all comes down to this frame. A man-child with a dream to top a bowling giant. If he strikes, he's the tour champion. He's got one foot in the frying pan and one in the pressure cooker. Believe me, as a former bowler, I know that right about now, your bladder feels like an about-to-erupt volcano.
Gateway Lanes on Main Street and Helper.
You're listening to News Talk, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K259CM Price of NASCAR.
Let's get a big thumbs up. Get ready to rock and roll today. Let's have some fun. 400 bucks. I got you guys there. Have a great day. 10-4.
tonight. We'll make it happen. We know what we got to do.
The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live.
Here comes RCR. Of course, the car driven by Ryan Newman.
Phoenix is unique because both ends of the racetrack are so different. And every racetrack has its own differences, but I think Phoenix is the outlier.
Ryan Blaney diving down.
That's a place where we run okay, but it's another one where we need to get better at. And, you know, it's a playoff race, so hopefully we can learn some stuff from there.
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Hercules Tires, right on our string. From the Motor Racing Network studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of NASCAR Live. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you yet again for another weekly get-together. We've got lots to discuss over the next 60 minutes. We're going to get you dialed in, get you ready for racing at ISM Raceway. Coming up this weekend in Phoenix, it's a double dip with the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Speaking of the Xfinity Series, Elliott Sadler off to a strong start this year. Second, fifth, and fifth in the first three races. He's tied for first in the standings, and he'll join us to talk about that as well as preview this Saturday's DC Solar 200 on Saturday. We'll look back at the last time we were at Phoenix with the NASCAR Live Backtracks. Of course, that was the penultimate weekend of 2017. Also, we're going to go face-to-face with NHRA Top Fuel champion Antron Brown, who is at Las Vegas Motor Speedway over the weekend. Kevin Harvick won his 100th NASCAR Top 3 Series race over the weekend. We'll look back at those 100 races and the milestones of his amazing career. Plus, we'll preview this week's MRN Presents the 1993 season 25 years later. Kim Kuhn will have a social media minute. MRN.com senior writer Pete Pistone will be along to talk about the latest stories. And we've got this week in NASCAR history and much, much more. To get us going this week, let's check in with NASCAR Today's Woody Kane, who joins us with the latest in NASCAR news. Woody?
Well, Mike, it seems like the manufacturer debate has been revived with Kevin Harvick and Ford off to a strong start in the first three races. Toyota is entering its second year with a new Camry, and Kyle Busch says even though his make won the 2017 title, NASCAR's new optical scanning stations have helped level the playing field through the inspection process.
That's definitely brought in people closer together. I think the splitter rules obviously brought people closer together. There were some guys that were really, really aggressive with that stuff, and they're really good. And there were guys that weren't so aggressive with it that maybe kind of showed a little bit slower speed, but they were fast the way they were last year, and that's translated into faster than some of the guys that had that taken away this year.
Chevrolet is debuting the new Camaro at the Cup level this season, and so far, Richard Childress Racing seems to be faring well, while Hendrick Motorsports is playing catch-up. Kyle Larson says he's glad Chip Ganassi Racing seems to have come out of the gate a little stronger than their running mates.
I don't know, whatever we do different, you know, helps us out. You know, all we really get from Hendrick is their engines, so you know, they could be doing stuff way different than us. And at this point in the season, I feel like we're probably actually a little bit better than we were, you know, last year.
We'll have more on this a little later in the show, but so far, Fords are 1-2-3 in the standings, with two Toyotas next in line, and Larson sixth overall. Mike?
Thank you, Woody. Coming up, we'll look back at the last time we were at Phoenix Raceway, now ISM Raceway, with the NASCAR Live Backtracks, and we'll walk you through Kevin Harvick's amazing career.